This is Wright Brennan with the Lost in the Midlands podcast, brought to you by Surratt Roofing. And today I am fired up to be here with the man, Randy Birchmore with Birchmore Paint and Body Shop. Randy Sr., it's great to have you here, brother.
Yes, sir. Glad to be here.
Heck yeah. Thanks for playing in the golf tournament.
Yeah, we had a brawl. Yeah.
I didn't know you were so good at golf.
I try to be.
And we don't get up enough and fired up your hair because we used to network and see each other once a week, and I get to hear all your jokes, and now it's like once a quarter.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, thanks for coming on. You are quite the entrepreneur. You got an amazing shop, a man in the trades. So I want to hear about, the kind of the journey of your business and, what's going on. So tell me, I guess what I like to hear from people is, before you opened your shop, where were you? What were a couple steps behind that? Like, what was it? You can't just decide one day, hey, I'm going to do this without having some kind of background.
Well, I took this stuff in high school and I loved it. And I had a teacher in high school, Ken Nunner. He was absolutely fun.
Yeah.
And my dad was a mechanic all these years, so I never really could get into that. But something about body work and paint work, I just loved it. And became a painter when I was, 18 years old, and had various jobs. I worked for all the big stores and all.
Yeah.
And I just never liked the way they treated people.
Yeah, yeah.
So I opened up my own place in 2006 and been at it since then.
Wow.
It's awesome.
Thanks. So you've been in it for almost
19. This will be 19 years in September.
Oh, congrats, man. That is a big accomplishment. The attrition rate on every decade, companies don't last 5 years. Yeah,
there's been some months that this is tough, and then a bigger job. I don't wish anybody, misfortune or whatever with accident, but I'm here to help them if it does happen.
Yeah, you the man. All right, so you were working, so you had an inspirational person in high school. Somebody mm-hmm. said, showed you the light. Mm-hmm. And then you went out and you started working for, were they auto paint shops or were they were? Okay. And you decided, I could probably put my own personal touch on this business model.
Yeah, I actually left one place, and a body man came with me, and that's me and him's been at it pretty much. He came like a year after I started up.
No kidding.
And me and him's been at it, and I've hired people along the way, like a painter and another body man, but we're doing great. It's a little small knit shop. I mean, it's not all glass windows and gold fixtures in the bathrooms and all that, but
hey, it's like a horse farm out there. I mean, this is
I got a horse. You can pet my horse while you're there. It's not my horse; it's my wife's. But you're more than welcome to.
That's an added bonus of bringing coming by the shop. So, all right. So, where was the first place you got that you opened up? I mean, This is it.
This is behind my house, and you think about and I always felt bad. It's behind my house. And I felt weird about it, but a guy told me one time, he said, anybody opens up a business beside their house or behind their house and they have customers coming in that could always come back, I want that guy.
Oh, yeah.
And I try to treat people fair.
Well, they know right where you're at. Mm-hmm. So you finish the job, there's no hiding.
You're right.
Oh, that's fantastic. My goodness, you never thought about moving? Like, I guess, it just worked. And you were like, why?
It has worked. And like I say, I said the gold fixtures in the bathrooms and all that stuff for a reason.
Yeah.
A lot of these insurance companies, they figure aftermarket parts and stuff like that. And I'm able to help customers because I don't have a lot of overhead.
Yeah.
So when they figure $200 for a bumper, I can call the dealer and negotiate a price and get them to price match stuff.
Yeah.
And a lot of shops try to do that, but I can do it a little more effective because I don't have a lot of overhead.
Yeah.
We got a frame machine and a paint booth and all that stuff and an adequate room to work, but I don't have all the fancy stuff like some of these shops have, but we do great work with a lifetime warranty.
Yeah, yeah. It gives you definitely an advantage. Mm-hmm. That customer's really, you know, hey, look, you can either go to the horse farm. I mean, you get a beautiful property.
Yes.
Or you can go and just like a strip mall. I think I would absolutely rather be out coming out to the country. And you actually will go to your customers to help move vehicles back and forth. That's correct.
Yeah, I do that. I'll go and I'll write an estimate at their house if I happen to be in that. I went and wrote three the other day at customers' houses right in a row just because I was in Lexington and they asked, you know, instead of them coming all the way out to me, I was able to go to them and help them.
Okay. Interesting. So when you do that, do you have like software? You're like, all right, here, look, I'm coming out.
Basically, I take pictures of everything and document everything and get all the information from them, go back, figure everything up on my time, and then I email them back to them and explain to them what we're doing.
What's what? Cool. And there's some overlap between you and me being in the roofing world, you mm-hmm. being in the car world, the insurance stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering how have you seen that change over 20 years?
You know, labor rates were really small but labor rates have come up and helped us out. But, you know, dealing with you know how to deal with insurance companies. I know how to deal with insurance companies. And, you know, if you treat them fair and they know that you're not one of the shops that like to nickel and dime everything. So if I call an insurance company and I talk to them, hey, this, I really need this. And we need to take care of this. You know, don't worry. And if it's only $50, I'll just say, hey, don't worry about it. We'll get it on the next one. But I've created a great relationship with all the insurance adjusters and stuff like that. And that really counts when it's trying to get a customer's car back to where it needs to be.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's a great point. Having those relationships just makes the process easier, doesn't it? I've noticed if I've fallen into a couple antagonistic relationship with adjusters, and I was like, this is not helping me. It's not helping the customer. I got to get back in good graces with this person. Mm-hmm. So I can definitely relate to that. And you're also doing some retail stuff too, right? If somebody just wants, hey, look, I need help.
Yeah, a lot of shops have got away from doing all overs and stuff because it's just so time consuming.
Yeah,
with the collision market and as it is, it's very, very intense, and you have a certain amount of time to get this done.
Yeah,
because you got customers in rental cars and stuff that,
the insurance companies
want to know, hey, how long is it going to take? You know, why is it taking this long? It's because you're waiting on a part or whatever.
Yeah.
So it's kind of hard to do the all overs and stuff where you got to think if you got four or five bays and you do a big job and you got to take, you know, like older car, you have to take the hood and the doors and fenders and all. I mean, that clogs up a lot of room.
Yeah.
And it really puts a struggle on productivity for sure.
Yeah.
So I try to stay away from that part of it. But if it's a little small dent or a scratch or something in somebody's car that's not a collision, I try to help them out.
You the man. Because I'm a customer and that happens. So I appreciate you helping me out, my friend. Very cool. And so, you know, in 19 years of being a business owner, you mentioned you've hired and fired and you got guys been with you from the beginning. And
actually, I mean, I've had a few guys come and leave, but I don't think I've ever fired anybody.
Have mercy.
Yeah, I swear I've had my body man that came with me pretty much from the beginning. He's been with me the whole time. He retired on me last year and came back, couldn't get enough of me, so he come back and I hired another body man in his place, and then he ended up coming back, so now I got two, and my painter's been with me for 15 years probably.
What are we doing? How are we keeping people in house?
I treat them good.
Yeah.
I treat them financially good.
Yeah.
Like I say, I don't have a lot of overhead, so I'm able to give them more money, keep them happy. They eat before I eat, if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah.
So I think that's the best thing that you can do for an employee, to keep an employee and keep them happy, and everything runs smoother that way for sure.
Well, that's great advice from there, my friend. Mm-hmm. You're so much. I mean, people are like, I can't keep people on board. Well, you got to let them eat first.
This is Wright Brennan, the owner of C. Wright Roofing. When it comes to the maintenance of your roof, you want to know that you have an experienced team that knows what they're doing. And with 10 years in the business, we check all the boxes. Leaky roof, storm damage, or just overdue on maintenance, give us a call at 803-828-4181 for a free estimate. Again, that's 803-828-4181. And remember, our commitment is to roof it the right way.
All right, that's very cool. What other challenges have you hurdles? I mean,
when I first started, I mean, of course you got money flow and you got this and that, and I know it's not perfect idea to go get a credit card, but if you got something like that you can pay off every month and keep you from having to do this or that. I mean, when you got to think of it, if you got 10 cars you're working on and you have to order parts, I mean, you could have $20,000 in parts right off the rip, just like that. So you have money flow is a big issue when I first started, and it still is today to an extent. But, you know, when you having to front all these parts and wait 2 or 3 weeks or something like that, or if a car sits and waits on a part or something's on back order, I mean, these jobs can sit without payment for a while, so you have to navigate through that. But other than that, I mean, it's run pretty smooth. I mean, like I say, you know, you try to treat people as fair as you can, and everything goes smoothly.
Awesome. Where are you finding new customers?
All of it's word of mouth. I advertise in Kirk Luther's paper, and that does good.
Yeah.
But I have some great partners with B&I, and that gets us along. And I got my first start from Honda of Columbia. I do their work. Been doing their work for 19 years. I was in there talking to a guy. Let's get my oil changed there.
Yeah.
And I happened to work at another place, and I was in there getting my oil changed and just shooting the bull with this guy. And he's like, you know, I like you. I was like, okay, I like you too. He said, what do you do for a living? I said, well, I paint cars down at such and such. And he goes, you ever thought about going in business for yourself? I said, yeah, build a building. I said, I'm just kind of waiting for that opportunity. He said, go quit your job. I said, what? He said, I'll keep you busy.
Wow. I
said, really? And that was Lowell Westbury from Honda of Columbia. And he was the general manager at the time. And me and him are still great friends.
Yeah.
I do work for him still. And that was my first start. That's what got me into my business. And I appreciate that.
The opportunity came.
Yeah.
It presented itself.
And it was just me it was just me being myself and talking to him, you know?
Yeah.
And he just, you know, said, hey, you know, I like you. And I was like, well, I like you too, sir.
Gosh, Rand, you know how to manage relationships. That's one thing you're pretty good at doing.
Well, sometimes I kid too much, but I do like everybody.
Yeah, great sense of humor. That's what I miss about that the P&I chapter here and what Randy's ready to spin off for the afternoon. Very cool. What advice would you give to an up-and-coming guy?
Patience.
Yeah.
Yeah, patience. Treat your guys well, and they'll treat you well. I think once again with the employees, they're when somebody sees their work, that's your name. And like my dad said years ago, if you do a good job, son, they'll tell 10 people.
Yeah.
But if you do a bad job, they'll tell 50. And that's really stuck with me. And I try to instill that in my employees and try to demand that from them as well.
Yeah.
And for the most part, they do great.
A high standard of excellence over there.
Yeah,
absolutely. Sure. Yeah. You guys do amazing work. Would you say cars are easier to work on these days? I mean, over the time, or is it just about the same?
Well, you think about crush zones versus years ago to today. Cars are made to give now, and that's for your protection. A 1978 truck, you hit a tree and it's going to put a little dent in the bumper. Now it'll cave the whole front end. But before, it would throw you through the windshield.
Yeah, okay.
But a lot of these cars are safety oriented.
Yeah.
And so when you get in an accident, it's collapse zones.
Yeah.
I mean, you have give that the more the car absorbs, the less likely you're to get hurt. And everybody says, well, my airbags didn't go out. You do not want an airbag to go off. I can promise you that. That is a life-saving ordeal. I've seen black eyes. I've seen all kind of stuff coming in where the airbags deployed and people were, you know. But Yeah. I mean, if you got, think about having glasses.
Whew.
And an airbag hitting you in the face at 300 mile an hour.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to do some damage.
Yep.
And I tell people all the time, you do not want that airbag going off unless it absolutely has to. And they, oh, I didn't think about it like that. Yeah, that's like a grown man punching you in the face. It is.
Getting
it
hit
is,
by a boxer or something.
It is violent. It is a violent thing, but it's there to save your life.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
You got any personal cars you're working on right now? I remember when I was out there, there was like a truck that you had just dropped to the ground. It was looking pretty clean.
The problem with that, I love doing them, but it doesn't stay with me long, and I end up selling them. But I have my poor wife. We have been busy slam for about 5 or 6 years, and it's starting to ease up a little bit. But I've got a 65 Fastback. That I've been restoring for her for like 10 years, and she lets me know every week that it ain't done. But I have built another building, and I'm trying to get it in there solely by itself where we can work on it a little bit more. So,
yeah,
hopefully that'll be done sooner than later.
What kind of car do you like to work on? Do you have like, oh man, here comes a Honda? Or is
well, Hondas, I know, I think I'd like to work on Hondas more because I know them inside and out.
Yeah.
But I got great friends at Honda. If I ever run into a situation or troubleshooting, I can call the guys at Honda and say, hey, what are y'all doing for this? And they can help me. So it's a little easier to work on Hondas, and I've taken them apart so many times and put them back together. It's kind of easier to work on those. But some of this technology they got now for all cars is amazing. It's really impressive.
They're turning into little like spaceship computer type. I mean, that is pretty cool. Anything you see coming down the pipeline in the car world that's going to shake up the auto and paint market?
I don't know. They talked years ago about doing vinyl stuff and not painting cars anymore. That never came, into effect. But I mean, you got wraps and stuff out there now. But I don't know. It's just people are demanding more things, and that's why, I mean, you think about it. I remember walking by a Chevrolet truck when I was 1990 working at Love Chevrolet.
Yeah.
And thinking about, man, that thing's $28,000. I ain't never paying that much for a car. And some of them's $80,000 and $100,000 now. And it's all this technology and stuff in it and safety factors that they have to do that's driven the cost up. The labor rate has gone up a little bit, so we're happy for that. But it takes a lot to fix some of these cars. The computer stuff, I mean, I've got a $2,000 piece of equipment that just does codes, like if something needs to be reset or something like that. Sometimes you have to still take it to the dealer.
Mm.
But it's some of this stuff coming out and is impressive.
And which is even more reason you need a professional.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be trying to paint it in your backyard.
Yeah, a lot of these. And another thing I can talk about, people, they get estimates from their insurance company, especially after COVID. They're not sending people out to write these estimates. And most of them do it by photos. And these people get an estimate and they want to.
Not, it can't be accurate.
They just shop around. They just shop around and say, hey, I'm going to pocket this money in.
Oh, yeah.
But you can't do that because these insurance companies are just writing something to get started.
Yeah.
And then once the car gets broke down, we find all the bad parts and we put them to a pile. And then we'll cross-check it with the estimate and see if there's anything that's not on the estimate that should be. And then we do a supplement with the insurance company and then make everything whole again.
Yeah. Similar to roofing, I try to tell people, hey, look, this first estimate you got, this is not a pile of gold, man.
Yeah, they're definitely not just going to throw money and say, here, just fix whatever.
And go on vacation and fix your car.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. So,
right on. Okay, let's say, God forbid, I'm riding out of here today and boom, I hit a fire hydrant.
Just give me a call, and what I can do is get it towed if it needs to be towed.
Okay.
I can get a tow company to come bring it to my shop, and I'll pay the bill. Then I'll get everything back from the insurance company. Then we wait on the insurance company to ask if they want an estimate. if they want to come out and get an estimate, or if they want me to send photos to them, or I could write an estimate and send to the insurance company. Do it all kind of different ways. And then once the get approval from the insurance company, then we start breaking everything down and cross-checking it with the estimate, doing the supplements, ordering the parts, you know, seeing what kind of OEM parts I can get versus, you know, the aftermarket. That is a lot on most estimates is aftermarket parts. If you have a 2024 right now, they can put aftermarket parts on your car. And let me tell you, aftermarket parts are, some of them may work, but they're not nearly as good as OEM.
Yeah.
They don't fit as good. I mean, if you get a little light hailstorm, they will beat an aftermarket part up versus OEM because it's high strength steel and it's just not worth it. You can ask my guys that work for me. We very seldom use aftermarket parts.
So what does OEM stand for?
It's original equipment by the manufacturer.
Oh, okay.
And then you got aftermarket, which is, you know, just knock off something that looks close. I mean, you got to think of it. They can't do something perfect as an OEM because it's infringing on patent laws and all that stuff. And
I see.
And so if they can't make it perfect, why would you want to buy it?
Yeah.
So it's the fitment goes there. And then, you know, you have, you know, what is it made of? And is it good enough or is it as good as OEM? And most of the time it's not.
Yeah. Yeah, somebody needs to be able to navigate that. Again, another place where you need a professional to kind of guide you in the direction of optimal outcome. So, yeah, fantastic. All right. So, like you said, we get in a car accident, and right there we can give you a call.
Yes.
So, what's the number?
It's 803-622-4682. And that's my cell phone. That's my 24-hour. You can call, don't call me at night if you can't. but if you have to, call me. But yeah, most of the time that is you can reach me directly. That is my personal phone. That's my landline. That's everything. That is 100% my phone number. You call me, and that's what you get.
And we'll be hearing. So they'll be hearing from you. Mm-hmm. Hey, cool. You got any do you have a website?
I do not. I did a website years ago, and I got 900 calls wanting to fix my website. So I didn't. I just stopped with the website thing. So.
Facebook page?
Yeah. It's Birchmore Paint and Body.
Rock and roll.
You can look it up on Facebook, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
But like I say, just give me a call, and I'd be glad to help anybody get them in and get them out. And we offer a lifetime warranty. So.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yes, sir.
That is beautiful. Well, any final message, anything I didn't ask that, you know, any niche in the business that we didn't cover today?
Well, just be careful. I ran into a gentleman, you know, today. I wrote an estimate for him last night.
Yeah.
And you got to be careful. Not all shops are like this, but, you know, you get an estimate from me. I take every step to find out if I need to do something or if I need to write for this or write for that. And usually I get 98% of it. Now, you're going to have hidden stuff that you can't see.
Yeah.
But a lot of these shops, that they'll write something small or something, you know, less than what people are going out and getting two and three quotes. So some of these shops are getting, you know, work by writing a lower estimate. And then when you get it in there, oh, we found $2,000 worth of damage that you're not going to, you know, we didn't have figured on the original estimate. You're not going to have that with me.
Yeah.
You might have a couple brackets or something that I didn't foresee, but most of the time I'm on my hands and knees and looking at this thing and trying to write everything that I can imagine that's going to cost this. You know, I don't want to write anything that's not on part of the accident, but for the most part, I write everything. And usually there's just a little bit, if any, and most of my customers will tell you, but some of these shops, they write them low just to get it in the door, and then they hit you with a bigger bill, and then it
change order.
then it costs. Yeah. And it's a shame that it's done like that. But I don't want to practice that. I want to do the right thing.
Integrity, rock and roll, fantastic. Well, you guys are doing amazing business out in the community. Appreciate you coming on. And we'll definitely have to follow up down the road, see what's going on. So, Randy, appreciate you, man.
I'm glad you invited me. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
Hey,
Hey, everyone. Many thanks for watching. If you enjoyed this episode, give us a follow and click the bell to stay up to date on future episodes, or click the link to watch another previous episode. Also, don't forget to like, share, and please leave us a comment. We'd love to hear your feedback.